Now, I've chosen as a text this morning a verse of Scripture found in Job chapter 16. In speaking on the subject, I too shall die. I too shall die. As I looked at verse 22, Job 16:22, I wanted to speak on this subject, but my eyes kept jumping back to verse 21. I read verse 22, but I kept going back to verse 21. So I'll read both of them, and I'll speak from both of them. We'll talk about both these verses. Let's look at verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. We've got that reversed today. We're pleading with men for God. Just begging and pleading folks to do something for God. And here Job wants somebody to plead to God for him. Plead with God for me, as a man pleadeth for his neighbor, for a friend. When a few years have come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. When a few years have come, then I shall go the way I shall not return. Now, the Word of God speaks often of death. I know there are many people, perhaps even some of you, who don't like to hear the preacher preach about death. You don't like to talk about death. You don't like to think about death. But the Word of God speaks often of death. Let me just quote you a few scriptures. In 2 Samuel 14, verse 14, it says, "We must needs die. We must needs die. And we are as water spilt on the ground." It's poured out the water. It cannot be gathered up again. It cannot be gathered up again. And then Job said in chapter 7, verse 1, "Is there not an appointed time to man on the earth? And I shall sleep in the dust." David wrote in Psalm 89, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Can you deliver your soul from the hand of the grave? Which of you," our Lord said, "by taking thought can add 1 year to your life?" 1 day, 1 hour. Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die." If you'll turn back just one page in Job 14, you'll see verse 5 saying this, "Seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, he cannot pass." So the Bible speaks often of my death, the fact that I shall die. And then the seasons speak of death. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. Spring comes and we see the buds, the new life appear, like a little baby born down at the hospital this morning. The new life, spring of life. And then the summer comes and you watch that baby get to be a teenager. Gary Shepherd told me this morning that his son will be 15, I believe, this week. We watched him grow, and then we'll watch him get to be a young man, strong. And we see the full bloom and the growth of the flowers and the trees and the fruit. And then fall begins to come with the wind whistles. You go outside and you shiver. You just didn't notice, but you looked up and there that leaf is turning from green to an orange or red. What's happening? It's dying. It's dying. The leaf is dying. The flowers are dying. They've got that frostbite on them. Some of us got a little frostbite on us, hadn't we? And then the fall gives way to winter, and everything's gone. The glory of man is as the grass of the field, the flower of the field. It withers and it dies. And then you go out there and you just plow it under. Don't you plow it under and put leaves over there? And where's that pretty corn that was? Where's that fine broccoli? Where are those tomato plants? Where's your rose bushes? Where's your gladiolus? Where's your marigold? What? They're dead. I remember when they were just little buds. And another thing, our bodies keep telling us of death to come. The weary body. I made a trip last week. I drove 910 miles down to Brother Paul Williams' place in Florida. We fished 2 days. And then I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night. We drove back and forth to an hour and a half each way to the service. And I preached Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. And I drove over to Brandon, Florida, and preached Thursday night. After the service, got in the car and drove 4 hours to the Florida line. Got up next morning at 8 and drove 710 miles to Ashland. And I told Doris yesterday, I said, I'm tired. I can't take it like I used to. And the body's getting weary, and the failing eye. I can't see, and I can't hear, and I can't drive for hours. I got a wrinkled brow and a gray head. And I'll tell you this, is death, my friend. That's what this is all about. When you see the tree, we're so smart in the things of the flesh. And we see that the flowers begin to fade and the tree begins to change color. And we say, well, hey, winter's coming. Things are dying. I tell you, you can't look in the mirror and tell that. There's some other things dying, too. So, and someday there'll be an empty chair. And that's when we'll finally, hey, he's dead. That's when it'll finally dawn on us that he's dead. I don't hope to say anything new on this subject. It's been said over and over and over again. You know the problem? The problem, and when you're preparing a message like this, the problem, not try to say something new, the problem is what's been said hadn't been heard. There's the problem. It's been said. We've heard it dozens of times. It just hadn't been heard. That's the reason our Lord kept saying to his congregation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Death's not unusual. Death's not uncommon. From the days of Abel to this day, everybody's died that's left here. There's only two that left here without dying, and that's Elijah and Enoch, only two I know anything about. So when you hear somebody died, it's not all that unusual. Just say, hey, did you hear somebody die? They did. What, is that unusual? Read the paper. There's dozens of them in there every night. It's not unusual. It's not uncommon. But no one seems to take notice. I gave this illustration at a funeral up in West Virginia one time. We're like cattle out in the field. Here's a man got 50 head of black Angus. And he's sending them to the market to be slaughtered one at a time. And he comes out there one morning at 8 o'clock. And they're all just grazing around, you know, eating grass, you know, walking around everywhere. And he takes one of those prize beef out of there. And when he comes and puts a rope around his neck and pulls him away from the grass, all the cows look up, you know, and then they go back to eat. Next day, come gets another. They all look up. They
go back to eat.
They look up for a second or two, and they go back to eat. And finally, there's just two out there in the field. Just two your age. Just two. That's you and the other fellow. Just two your age. God has come and taken all your family and all your friends and all your relatives and all your cohorts and all your comrades, everyone, and there's two of you left. And he comes and takes that next one, and you look up for a second or two, and then you go right back to all these things you've been doing all the time. That's us, isn't it?
Oh, we're impressed for the moment, you know, when he's gone. But we go right back to just where we were and what we were, doing what we are doing, and paying no attention to the fact that we're next. We're next. That's the reason Amos said, prepare to meet God. You're next. I don't know who I'm talking to, but during the last 3 or 4 weeks, how many of our folks have gone? Now, who's next? Who's next? So there's no call for eloquence. It's just a call for truth. And that's what my text says right here. It says, when a few years, verse 22, are come, just a few years, and I shall go. I shall go. I'm next. Maybe. So I want you to see four things. They're simple. First thing I want you to see is a certain person. Second is a certain journey. And third is a certain time. And fourth is a certain revelation. Now, first of all, a certain person. Job says, when a few years have come, my father's going to die. No, sir. I'm going to go. Me. Now, be honest. You come with me. When I said a while ago, who's next? Nearly everyone has thought of the oldest person in here. That's right. We thought of the old, didn't you? Brother Sammy Elliott wasn't the oldest person here, was he, Terry? Brother Jim Spence wasn't near the oldest person. Your mother, Sheila, is just 4 years older than I am. Job is honest here. And we're this is the way we are. I know why we are because I know me. You say, how do you know so much about me? I know me. I know what you're thinking. You thought of the oldest person here, and so did I when I said, who's next? Maybe John Chapman's next. Oh, you say, he's so young. Young got nothing to do with it. You go out to the cemetery. There's some graves this long out there, John, right? There's some this long. But Job is honest. He said a few years, and I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Now, you be honest. We're sure that all men are mortal. We know that all men are going to die. We know that everybody's going to the grave. But what we don't believe is this, that my death is very near. Mine. Me. I'm going to go. Your pastor. Darcy's husband. Becky's father. I'm going to go. And oh, how God teaches us this. Listen to the word. Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to think on this subject. Teach me to prepare for this day. Why? That I may apply my heart to wisdom. Whose wisdom? Christ is wisdom. He's our wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. And you know, I think about, I drove the other night so far to the service every night. We had some people that drove for 30 miles, some 40 miles. Maurice Montgomery's sister drove over an hour to all the services last week. And folks say, well, that's a long way to come to church. Well, I tell you, if you knew you were going to die day after tomorrow, I bet you'd drive a long ways to hear about Christ tonight, wouldn't you? I tell you, if you had your choice between whether to come here and hear about Christ tonight or go somewhere and hear something else, I believe you'd come here if you really thought you was going to die. We'd redeem the time, wouldn't we? We'd redeem the time. If we had any thought at all of going to meet God in the next few hours, we'd redeem the time. We'd redeem the opportunity. I'm not saying to you quit work. I'm not saying to you stop everything you're doing. I'm saying to you just teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom, to some kind of value in life. Lord, make me to know my end, David wrote, and the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning and myself, that we're frail creatures. We live in a frail tent. I haven't learned it like I should. I haven't learned it like I must. But I've learned it right here. Job says, when a few years have come, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Now, I won't notice the second thing. He talks about a journey. He says,
When a few years have come, I shall go. Go. I shall go. And let me tell you this. There's no way to avoid death. He says, I shall go. I shall go. There's no way to get around Jordan. There's no bridge, Charlie, over it. It's through it. It's through it. There's no way. Oh, but you say, well, Christ may come again. Yes, Christ, not may, he will come again. But he hadn't come yet. And there's a greatest possibility that he will not come in my lifetime. I'm going to die. I believed in the second coming for 60 years. I remember, Gerald, your dad used to think he wasn't going to die, but he did. That's right. He used to say, Christ's coming in my lifetime. But he didn't come. He had to die. Brother Bill had to die. No matter how much I believe in the second coming of Christ, that's in his own time and for his own purpose. I'm going to have to prepare to die. I've heard about death. I must experience it. I've watched others die. And I must die. I've heard about eternity, and I've got to enter it. And I've heard of the judgment, and I've got to stand there. What is this wise? Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. What is this wise wisdom and so forth? Well, it's the wisdom to face things that are certain and things that are sure and putting those things in their proper
perspective and light and dealing with them.
And this thing of death, when I lie down to die, say that this afternoon, or I hope I get to preach this message tonight that I've prepared for you, but say it's this afternoon. If I lie down and die, they take me down here to the funeral home and begin to take the blood out of my body and other things to replace it with embalming fluid, and I lie there on the slab, and they prepare me to put me in that casket. Now, let me ask you a question. What difference does it make then if I'm rich or poor? Now, what difference does it make if I had the latest car or an old 68 Chevrolet? Now, what difference does it make? And what difference does it make if I was old or young, if I was John's age or my age? I'm dead. What difference does it make if I was a person strong and handsome or weak and frail? Now, what difference does it make? Some of you are spending your time trying to keep those muscles tuned up. You better keep your heart in tune. It's a whole lot more important than your muscles. That's right. No matter whether you're good looking or don't look so good, when you're dead. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just telling facts. There I lay. What difference does it make if everybody in town knew me or nobody knew me? Well, we want recognition. We want this old flesh recognized. I'd rather be known in glory. I'd rather be known. I'd rather be, if I'm going to be hated somewhere, let it be on earth, not in glory. Well, was he well liked? The question, my friend, is this.
Did he know Christ? Did he know and love Christ?
Now, that's the whole issue. And all the fine ideas we have about fame and fortune and friends and so-called goodness and imprint and influence and all of these things, you know, these things just melt like the frost before the morning sun when a man dies. It's gone. He's gone. Death reveals the truth about him in the sight of God. Death blows away the chaff. Watch it now. Listen to me. Death shuts your mouth and opens God's books. There's where it is, right there. There she blows. Death shuts your mouth and your preacher's mouth and all the mouths of your friends and opens God's books that deal in
F-A-C-T-S facts.
Whether you're in Christ or not in Christ. Whether you know Christ or don't know Christ. Whether you love Christ or don't love Christ. Whether you're redeemed by Christ or not redeemed by Christ. Whether what you did was mechanical or experiential. Whether what you did was form or tradition or heart. God, the day will declare it, God said. God said. That's when verse 21 comes into focus. Whew. Oh, look at here. Verse 21, oh, that one might plead for a man with God. Well, who's going to do that? There's one God, There's one mediator, Cecil. The man Christ Jesus. Thank God he died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. I've found the ransom in the hands of my mediator. Oh, Christ, plead for me. I'm not going to hail Mary. I'm going to hail the Lord Jesus Christ. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us poor sinners. Mary, don't waste your time.
Christ must pray for his own. He's the only mediator.
He is the only redeemer. Oh, brother man, you're not ecumenical enough. You're not broad-minded enough. There's one door.
And I'm broad-minded enough to say anybody comes through that door is welcome.
But he that cometh up some other way is a thief and a robber. There's one door. I tell you, it's narrow enough to satisfy the holiness of God and broad enough to receive any sinner that wants to come in. That's Christ. Old Dr. Durham, famous Scottish preacher and writer, wrote many books on the Song of Solomon. Before that old man died, he looked at a friend, and this is what he said. Dear brother, for me, and for all that I've done, and all that I've preached, and all that I've written, and all the miles I've traveled, one scripture, just one, I can remember. With any understanding, and it keeps coming to my mind. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I tell you, that one might plead for a man with God. Plead for a man with God. Father, for my sake, let him in. Father, on my righteousness, accept it. Father, on my obedience, receive it. Father, through my blood, cleanse it. I recommend it. He's my child. That's it. Okay, let me get on with this here. He said, I, a certain person, a certain journey, I shall go. And watch this. A certain hour. It says, when a few years are come. And over here in the margin, if you got a marginal reference of number 5 or something, it says in the Hebrew, that's years of number, certain number, a certain number. Man's days are determined. Really, it may be years, it may be months, it may be weeks. It may be weeks. But I tell you, God determines that day. You don't. I heard a dear man on television yesterday. I feel sorry for people that don't know anything about the gospel, but he's talking about his grandmother, who was 86 years old. He said the reason she lived that long was because she lived a clean life and lived for God. Well, I'm glad she lived a clean life, and I'm glad she lived for God, but that's not why she lived 86 years. God gave her 86 years. I'm as sure of that as I'm sure the Bible's God's word. The number of his months are with God, and they're determined, that the day is set. Listen to this scripture. You don't need to turn to this, but in John 21, well, let me just tell you the story. In John 21, the Lord Jesus told Peter how he would die. Peter would be crucified. They say upside down. He told him he would die. And Peter looked over at John and said, yeah, but what about him? What about John? What's he going to do? And the Lord said what? If I will that he tarry till I come, what's up to you? That's my will. How long John lives is my will. What John does is my will. Got nothing to do with you. And you may live 40 years or 50 or 60 or 85, but I'll tell you by whose will you live. His will. His will. But this gives me great comfort. Now, I want you to listen to this statement right here. This gives me great comfort. That God's in control. Total, absolute control of death. You say, yeah, what if I jump out in front of a truck? Well, are you still thinking in silly things like that? People, they come at you with that. You know, are you still that juvenile in understanding? God decrees all things in his permissive or directive will. And he sets the day of death. But this gives me great comfort that God's in control, and this is the reason. My death, whether it be today or tomorrow or 10 years from now, shall serve His glory. Everything He does for His glory.
Secondly,
my death shall promote my good. I'm going to show you that tonight. My good. Death is not loss, it's gain. Thirdly, and I hear people say this often, I think this is an understandable question. Paul mentioned it. But what about my children? Or what about my grandchildren? Or what about my job? Or what about my congregation? Or what about the people to whom I hope I'm some help? This is what I answer. My death, whenever God decrees it, for His glory and my good, shall also be for the accomplishment of His purpose
for those whom I leave. Am I getting what I'm saying?
In other words, if a man dies and leaves a young widow or young children, God decreed it that way for the accomplishment of His purpose in the life of those people, whatever their age.
Because He's a better father to them than you could ever be. See what I'm saying? So don't be
concerned about that. Paul said it's expedient for you that I remain. It's expedient for you that I remain as long as God wills for me to remain. But when God's will is accomplished and my work's done, it's better for you I leave. Everybody bemoaned the fact that Spurgeon died at 58. He had an orphanage. He had a school for preachers. He had a congregation of 5,000 people. He had a worldwide printed ministry. And God took him. You say, oh, well, those poor people.
Not if they're God's people. God's people aren't never poor. God's their portion.
And it may be Spurgeon got to be the portion. God took him out. Oh, what did Isaiah say? When King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Maybe when you die, somebody's looking to you, quit looking to you and look at God.
Possibility, isn't it, John?
Somebody's depending on you, quit depending on you and go depending on Christ. If my death could accomplish the salvation of one of these children,
it served God's purpose, wouldn't it?
If my death or your death could serve to put someone dependent on God instead of on me, His purpose accomplished. That's what I'm saying. So don't forget that right now. You forget the idea. You just dismiss the idea that God needs you. You forget that. You forget that. God doesn't need me or you either one. In fact, when God's through with us, we're in God's way if He doesn't move us. That's right. I hope that deals with that. My death, the fact that it's all in God's hand gives me comfort. Because when He takes me, it'll be for His glory. When He takes me, it'll be for my good. And when He takes me, it'll be the good of every one of His people with whom I'm identified and associated. I guarantee you that. God makes no mistake. And so I say this, if there's a burden to bear it now and bear it cheerfully. If there's a work to be done, do it now. The night cometh when no man can work. If there's a sermon to preach, preach it. If there's a word to say, say it. If there's a stewardship of grace, serve it. What I'm saying is our lease is about up, see so. That's redeemed the time. All right, here's the last thing, and I'll quit. In a few years, just a few years, that's a certain time. Then I, that's a certain person, shall go, that's a certain journey. And here's a certain fact.
I'm not coming back.
Now, you can forget all of the spiritualists and all of the mystics, all of the whodunits and all of the ghosts and all of the haunted houses.
You ain't coming back. That's so. You're not coming back. Not here.
I beg your pardon. I know we're circling that with a great cloud of witnesses,
but they're not here. They're with the Lord.
There's no spirit of His people roaming around here in this outfit. Christ said, you're going to be with me in paradise. Paul said, be absent, the body be present with the Lord. If our earthly house be dissolved, we have a building where? In the heavens. Isn't that what he said? Not down here in some old house, you know, rattling mirrors. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of in my life. I hope nobody here believes it. Cracking mirrors and turning. Can you imagine me down here after I've been to see the Lord down here turning your pictures crooked? Or knocking on the table?
That's Henry.
Oh, I hope you don't believe that stuff. That's awful. That's awful. We're with Him in His presence in a building. A house not made with hands. Eternal in the heaven. And I'm down here knocking on a old oak table. If you believe that, you ought to believe it. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back to my home. Now let's get real serious here. I'm not coming back to my home. The example that I've set in that home as a wife or husband or father, the attitude I've had in that home, the way I've treated my wife and family, it's all done.
I'm not going to come back and straighten it out. So best start straightening it out now, hadn't I? I'm tired of hearing
wives talk about their husbands are good Christians, but they treat them so shabbily and ornery at home. I don't believe that. I'm tired of hearing people say, well, she loves the Lord, but she's hard to live with. I can't hardly buy that either. I can't hardly buy it. I think grace makes us gracious at home, not in the building here, at home. I'd hold off rather you live at home, your religion, and live it here. Because those you live with, we can take it one time a week, but 7 days a week is pretty hard to live with.
We can put up with your orneriness and cantankerousness around here, but I'd heap rather you be gracious at home. You ain't coming back now.
You're going to walk out that door one of these days. You're not going to come back and straighten it up. And I'm going to leave my job one of these days, the people I've worked with and the people who've worked for me. And that memory of me is fixed. And the stewardship God gave me over those people that worked for me. And over the people I worked for. And the people I worked with. And what I should have done, I ain't coming back to straighten up. What I should have said, I'm not going to have the opportunity to say it anymore. The deeds I should have done, I'm not going to have an opportunity to do it again. So I'm going to walk out of my office one day and lock the door, and I'm going to leave and never coming back. But whatever I do from that office in relation to these who serve with me and by my side and so forth, it's done, Ron. I'm going to treat you right. I better do it now. I'm not coming back to my church either. I've walked through that door many a time. I've come in here and walked up this pulpit this morning after all y'all gone. I'll turn out the lights, walk out that door. One of these days, Cecil, I'm going to flip that switch for the last time. Walk out that door. And never open my mouth here again. So I tell you this, while I'm here, I'm going to preach the gospel. Can't do it next week, Charlie. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to give an account of the gospel I preached. That's the reason I got no time for compromise. I got no time for compromise or compromises. No time. And you know, while we were here, we thought of a lot of reasons for not being here. I know, I'm not. Church attendance is not salvation. But you know, I imagine this. I thought of a lot of reasons for not going, and one of these days I can't go. One of these days I'll never hear another hymn. I'll never hear another sermon. So what I'm saying is, when a few years, a set time, a certain person, I, shall go a certain journey, and I'm not coming back. So God, let me be what I want to be and ought to be now. If we'll learn to live with death, we'll begin to live
like God intended us to live, I believe. Because if we One old writer said this, let's think and do in the light of judgment. In the light of judgment.
Because it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that to judgment. All right, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to preach on... This morning I preached on I too shall die. And I tried to make it in the first person and ask you to identify with me. But tonight I'm going to preach on and death, that death will be precious. Yeah, it will. I hope I have everybody here tonight anxious to leave.